Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. We've got Fiona and myself, Dash, and we are going to be talking about saying no. And the reason is that it's been a conversation I've been having with colleagues at work. It's been a conversation I've been having with my girlfriends. Helen Bevan, who is the Chief Innovation Officer at the NHS in the UK, tweeted about this beautiful infographic about saying no. And I recently listened to a podcast episode on the ABC Work Life podcast about saying no. So I feel like maybe it's around this time of the year, but something I've been thinking about, how do we say no? Why do we say no? Why do we say yes? And trying to understand that a little bit more.
Do you think a lot of it comes from, because I listened to that podcast, you sent it to me and said, have a listen, and I had a listen, and I was thinking a lot about what makes you a yes person and what makes you a no person. And I do wonder if there's a generational lens to that. Because as a Gen X, I think we say yes a lot. We don't know how to say no, and it's the millennials teaching us to say no, you know, to say there is a boundary and there is something we should be setting. So I thought it was really interesting you sent that to me, because I hadn't really thought about that. I hadn't thought about saying yes or no, or because it's always yes, yes, yes. Ah. And I'm interested to get into the conversation of that because of the type of year I've had where I want to say yes to things. But anyway.
Interesting. I feel like millennials maybe say yes and no, but I feel like millennial females say yes more often than millennial males.
Why do you think that?
Well, it's just an observation I've had.
And you're saying yes and no in the workplace, or are you saying everything?
In everything.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
About setting boundaries.
About
and
setting
limits.
Yeah. And I feel like boundaries has a dirty word, is a dirty word for a lot of people, but I do think it is trying to unpick why those boundaries, or why someone is putting up a boundary around something. So to tell you a story, I guess why I've been thinking about it a lot this year, and it might be a long kind of unpacking because I'm unravelling these thoughts in my head.
I've got the time.
I feel like when I first started my career, and particularly straight after my PhD, I said yes to everything, and I needed to. Okay. I needed to say yes to everything, and I wanted to say yes to everything.
Why did you have to say yes to everything? Because of the opportunity?
The opportunity, and also I needed to keep learning, right? Yeah. So often people think that once you're you've got a PhD, which is the highest level of qualification you can get in Australia, right, that you're then an expert. But no, you're still a very junior baby researcher. And so in order then to keep honing and learning your craft, it's important to say yes to all these different opportunities. So I said yes to projects across diverse areas. I said yes to projects in different methods. And I got to be a better researcher because of that. I said yes to teaching opportunities. I just said yes all the time. Now I am 11 years post PhD, and I am starting to realize I need to hone in on an area of expertise.
Okay.
So I can't say yes to everything. The other thing that I've been reflecting on a lot, and it's actually a comparison to actors. I'm not saying I'm an actor, but you know how often actors will say, you do a movie or do a franchise and you don't want to be typecast?
Yes.
And because they do it and they're excellent. And I've been listening to Big Bang Theory cast members talk about fearing of being typecast into a particular type of role or a particular type of character. I know in my area of work, you can easily be typecast into having a particular type of expertise.
Okay.
And for example, I know I'm very good at running workshops. Yep. I'm very good at qualitative research. I know I'm very good at consumer and community involvement. I'm not saying I want to say no to those, but I feel like I've been typecast that everyone just says, well, Dash will just do that.
Okay.
I don't have to do it because Dash will do that, because that's what she does. And when I've pushed back and said, oh, how about you, Lynn? I'm happy to support you. I haven't even said a full-on no. I'm happy to support you. I'll look at your schedule. I'll give you ideas of activities you can run. I feel like it's really important that you learn this skill. The amount of pushback I get is actually incredible.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What, they don't want to take the opportunity to do it themselves?
They don't want to, and they'll say, oh, but you're on this project because that's your expertise. I was like, my expertise is actually bigger than how to run a workshop. It's actually the overall project. You know, it might be on the implementation science or it might be on qualitative research, like that overall big picture, but the actual doing, I'm at a career point where I have to say no to some of the doing on the ground elements. And so much of what I've been asked to do, I'm not getting paid for. It's not part of my paid role.
Yeah.
So it takes me away from the writing papers or writing my own grants or doing my own work for my own projects every time I say yes to someone else's request to run said workshop. And it's not like you can just rock up and run something. You have to prepare for it, then time running it, all of those kind of things. But it's not like you're getting paid for it. So then the other thing that I started thinking was, okay, if I had the request of that person to do something, would they say yes?
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the realization, probably not.
Oh, they would say a no.
They would say a no. And so why am I saying yes if they would say no, if I had a similar request back to them?
Does that go back to, where are you in your family? Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do.
Birth order is like, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm the oldest
too. You just wear it. You just do it.
Because you always have.
Yeah.
And you've always probably been the leader and, you know, you're the one that paves the way and, of course, I can do it. And also, don't forget, you've probably always had the capacity to do it and maybe now as you've got a little bit older, you don't have as much capacity or much bandwidth, as people say, to do that anymore, and you're realising limitations. And when you're younger, I feel like you can do everything, but as you get a bit older, you start to recognise the signs of that burnout and getting a little bit weary and things like that. But that's scary too, saying no to things. That becomes a bit scary because then you can make, like, you can, okay, here's my thing about it, right? So me being a dentist, and I've been a dentist for over 30 years, I started saying no to certain things that I didn't want to do in the dental clinic anymore. Because I became very good at different things and I thought, well, no, this is the way I want to go. I want to be good at this. I don't need to do that. That stresses me out. I don't want to do that anymore. Even though I had done it for 25 years and done it very well, but now I'm going to concentrate on this. But I narrowed my world a little bit too much. And so I didn't lose the skills, but now this year I've become – I'm saying yes again to certain things because I thought – oh, no, I shut myself off to that a little bit. It's really hard to know where the line sits.
Did you shut yourself off or did people shut yourself off from doing that?
Some of it was shut off for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was in a very big clinic and they wanted us to do certain things and not other things. So you get de-skilled a little bit that way. And, of course, because I worked in the country, I had to do everything anyway. And I think the other thing as well is as I became older and older, I took on a very big mentor role with people as well. So that was taking from my skill set as well. Like I was giving so much of myself in a different capacity within the same workplace.
Yeah.
So I would say now that I'm reflecting and I'm talking it through as we're going, I'm now saying no to a lot of the mentoring stuff and going back to the physical skill stuff. I've sort of changed it around a little bit.
But the point is you have to say no to something.
Yeah, true. I'm just working it through as we talk. Yeah.
You have to say no to something. And I think you're 100% right. And one of the things that I learned in one of the leadership programs I did was having the T of breadth and depth. So the letter T, so you have a wide array of skills.
Yes.
But in one area you have depth of skill and knowledge.
Yeah.
And so I want to maintain the T. I don't want to be an I.
Yes. Yeah.
But in doing the stuff across the horizontal part of the T, I don't want to be the one on the ground doing the doing.
Yeah.
I would rather be supporting others to be doing things.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether in your dentistry, when you were doing the mentoring, were you mentoring people in the skills of the stuff that you had then stopped doing, or were you mentoring in general?
In general, yeah, in general. I think as you get older as well and you get more skilled, and I'm thinking about you and myself in this capacity, you become like an elder or a wise person that people will come to, you know, to get mentoring from and get help from. But we have to be so careful as those people, as in not to de-skill them, like to not go, oh, I'll do that. Like, you know, you were saying a little bit earlier, you need to say, I'm going to show you the way.
Yeah.
But then you need to take the
path. You need to do the path.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you off mic about a conversation I had with a colleague of mine, and I just thought it was so powerful because it also comes from, like, Christian upbringing. We always were told that parable of, you know, teach a man to fish and he'll be able to feed himself and, you know, fish for the rest of his life. And so it wasn't about giving charity and giving handouts.
Yeah.
I sometimes feel like people don't want to be taught how to fish anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the ones holding the rod. They want someone else to hold the rod and for the fish to be given to them. And I'm just like, well, where's your skill set going to grow? Like, particularly in my area of work, where these are actually important skill sets for young researchers or even senior researchers to be able to take going forward, I'm like, it is important that you learn how to do this. It is important. You need to know how to hold the rod and catch the fish. And I think we're so time poor. Everyone is time poor. And so one of the things I've been trying to reflect on, okay, if you don't have the skill set, you're not willing to learn the said skill set, should you be saying yes? Should you be saying yes to that opportunity? Because if you say yes to that opportunity and think in your mind, I'll just get Dash to do it, then you are forcing a yes on me that I've never signed up to.
Can I bring something else, another lens to this as well?
Mm.
And it's, I'm thinking in my own head generationally again, I am wondering if when I was practicing dentistry in the 90s and the noughties, if something went wrong, if something didn't quite go as it should, that there wasn't as great a consequence as there is today.
Okay.
If something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if their fear of failure, because the consequences seem so much greater than maybe what you and I may have experienced a number of years ago. It's almost like, I don't know if this is correct what I'm saying, but it's almost like you're not allowed to fail anymore. You're not allowed to have failures anymore. And so maybe they're scared to take that step forward, whereas I feel I was brought up and you could fail and people go, it's okay, it happens to all of us, you know, and it happens to everybody. And so you've taken that fearful step and you've fallen down, but you've learnt to get back up again. And so, you know, you get more and more confident. But is it harder to fail nowadays? And maybe that's why they don't want to take that fishing rod. They don't want to take that step because they're scared they won't catch a fish. And you go, well, yeah, there's days I didn't catch fish either. You know, that's what happens. That's life. But can we still learn those lessons?
I think there are people often will see how someone performs a particular task or activity. For you, it might be some form of dental practice. And for me, it might be running a workshop or a panel or an event or doing qualitative research or whatever it might be. And they think, oh, look at how amazing they are at it and how easy, without realizing how many times we fell over to get to that point.
Yeah.
Like that was 11 years of honing those skills.
Correct.
Right? So yes, I can, like I still prep.
Your first one may have been awful.
Oh, there were so many awful ones on the way.
Yeah.
There were so many awful ones along the way. And even I think about this podcast, like I think about how we are coming up to being in triple digits of episodes, but we've learned so much and we just tried.
Yeah.
We just got out there and we went, let's just figure it out. Mm-hmm. We'll just try it. Nothing in my line of work really is a life or death situation, right?
Yeah.
So if you stuff up, it's a bad workshop.
Okay.
You might have annoyed a few people, but no one's going to die.
Yeah.
So the risk isn't as, I don't feel like it's a huge risk. I just think people maybe afraid to fail, but also feel unless I can do it perfectly for the first time, I'm not going to do it. I'll get someone else.
Yeah.
But you're never going to learn that skill.
No, no. You've got to fall down. Like, it's your failures that make you a success.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that.
It's also trying these different things and learning where your skills are and where your natural abilities are and what you need to hone and work on. Because if you don't do that, then, you know, so right now I'm pushing myself. So this is the other thing of why I'm like really feeling passionate about saying no and protecting my future, I guess.
Yeah.
Is in the same way actors don't want to be typecast into a particular character, the reason they don't want to do that is they can't grow as an actor.
Yeah.
I don't want to be typecast into a particular person professionally because then I don't get to grow. Because I can't then say yes to the things that I have to fail at and I have to try and I'm going to need to spend the next couple of years learning to thrive in. Mm. But that's going to take more energy from me. It's going to take more learning. And so, you know, I'm learning about the commercialization, business management kind of side of research. I've got to work out that element. That's not something that comes naturally to me. Yes, I'm going to have support along the way, but I'm not expecting people to do it for me.
Mm.
And in the same way with this podcast, I'm just like, I've just got to figure it out.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I'm just really grappling with this whole no thing and yes thing. I think in my mind I've come to the realization I'm saying no. I am saying no. I think what I'm finding hard is that people don't always respect that no.
Yes.
And I'm just surprised that people don't want to do things for themselves.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm hearing you. When you say no, how hard are you with that? Because I'm thinking about the podcast that we were listening to on the ABC. A couple of them, like they said, well, one in particular said no, but then made sure that it was done anyway. It was still running things behind the scenes, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, that didn't feel like a hard no.
Yeah.
It still felt like there was some responsibility taken. So when you're saying no, are you still helping in any way, or are you going, no, look, this is your project. Come and ask me if you need something, but I'm not going to do this for you. How hard are you?
I think it depends. So okay. For some, particularly if I'm involved in that project, I'll say, I'll support you.
Yes.
I'll work with you. I'll support you so you can run this well.
Yeah.
And the other thing I often will do is I can't do it, but I can refer you on to someone who might be able to step in to do it.
Yes.
But also having conversations to say, okay, well, then this is a skill set that for this project is identified, build their capacity to do that, or do we need to hire someone else?
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting paid for this, so
yeah,
I don't have the capacity. Someone has to. There has to be someone who has to be able to learn this. And then other times I just say no, or I ignore the email.
You ghost them.
I ghost them.
You millennial.
And then they come back and they'll say, we sent you this email a few weeks ago. We'd appreciate a response. And I'll be like, no.
Because you know what? You're probably still in two minds. You're probably thinking it through. Sometimes it takes time to think through and you don't want to respond immediately.
Yeah.
But by saying no, one of the things I'm getting from you is that you then have the capacity to say yes to other things, but things that excite you and things that scare you.
Yeah.
Because you're learning new skills as well. Because how do you grow as a human being if you're not being excited and scared and you know, doing those sorts of things?
Exactly.
As well. There's nothing, I mean, I'm going to say this, but people have to be aware the type of people that Dash and I are. To me, just treading water is terrifying. I want to swim.
Yeah.
I know some people are fine treading water, but I want to swim and I want to duck dive and I want to get out and dive back in. I don't want to just be okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's not exciting.
No, it's not exciting. And if it's not exciting, what are we doing here?
And it's actually one of my biggest fears is being bored.
Yeah. Which you can become very quickly for a person like yourself and myself, you know. It's, you know, going back to that, though, going back to saying no, I was also the eldest child, or still am. And
doesn't change.
God, still am. And you just got on with it. Mm-hmm. You just, and you said yes to everything. Mm-hmm. Like, because, and it's not even a yes. It's just like, can you do this? You just do it. You just, because you just go, oh, I can do it. I'll just get it done. But you do run out of fuel. You do. Mm. I really found that probably in the last sort of 5 years that you get to a point where you just go, I have nothing left inside me. I am an empty vessel now. And wow, I didn't save anything for myself.
Yes.
I didn't save a drop for me, and now I'm exhausted. I'm not healthy mentally and physically.
Yeah.
I'm not healthy in my relationships. I'm not healthy in the biggest one is my relationship with myself.
Yeah.
I haven't respected myself.
Yeah.
I've looked after everybody else but myself, and that's a really rock bottom place to be.
100%.
And I can only say it because I've been there. Like, and people don't realize, because you are so capable and you don't let people down, but you do get to a point where you've let yourself down because you haven't respected yourself enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the other thing you and I are very strong on, is when we do say yes, we maintain that yes.
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
We absolutely show up. Yeah. Like, we don't like to back out of a yes or a commitment we have made.
Yeah.
And so that will come at the cost that you've just said. And you are right. And I don't think, and it's not that I'm saying, oh, the people who are putting the requests in of us are awful people. It is, I think, when it's a surprise, I think, sometimes when we say no and then they push back. And do we then come and say, hey, I've got nothing left in my tank. Mm-hmm. For me to say mm-hmm. yes to you, that means I'll be working into the night mm-hmm. to try and get that ready for you. It means I'm pushing my other projects out, or I'm saying no to physio, or I'm saying no to cooking that week and I'm getting Uber Eats because I won't have time.
Yeah.
That's what saying yes means, mm-hmm. the consequences of saying yes mm-hmm. means. And so I'm not trying to say this as like, oh, these people are awful. It's more just to kind of say, I've got to the point in my life where I'm recognizing where previously the yeses were the dominance.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to start practicing saying no.
Yeah.
And being okay saying no, because I don't want to let people down. Mm. I wouldn't say I'm a people pleaser, but I don't like, particularly because so much of the work I do is relational and I'm a collaborator and I like working in partnership. I don't want to say no and have people upset with me. Mm-hmm. But I want to say no to protect the integrity of my yes.
Yeah.
And also, as you said, to be well.
Yeah. One thing I want to share then is that when I became a type 1 diabetic, and I was 32 at the time, I carried so much, I don't know if you call it shame, but when I was in my early 30s, I was doing way too much in my capacity. Like, I said yes to everything, like way too much. I'm not going to go into everything because it's a lot. And so when I got really sick with the type 1, I actually went into this place where I thought, well, of course I did this to myself.
Yeah, right. So you blamed yourself for it.
Yeah, yeah. I went into a place where I just thought, because they still don't know what causes it, like they still don't know, but I actually thought, I triggered this in my body because I went over my capacity. I didn't respect myself enough.
Mm.
And it's a place where I had to go see a psychologist about it to work it out. I still carry some of that. I still carry a little bit of that with me.
Wow.
Just thinking, because I didn't say no enough. Because I didn't, was it defining me? It was. I wanted to be everything I could possibly be and be, I don't know, is it to be loved or to be respected or just looking for validation maybe? I'm not sure why we say yes so often, what it is that we're looking for. Because I had a great childhood and, you know, great parents, and I'm not sure why it was so hard to say no. And even now, I'm in my 50s now, and I definitely say no now because I know what my capacities are. But sometimes, even before I say the no, sometimes I just think, oh, I could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it is in my head, and I think about, oh, would I lose an opportunity by saying no? what's that lost to me by saying that? But now I realise that lost to me is my own mental capacity. But you still do, like, you still must grapple sometimes with that.
You know what I've realised, and again, it was from listening to the ABC podcast, because I was like, am I a people pleaser? I am not to the same extent people pleasers are, but I don't like letting people down. I think it was, and you just said it, because I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And when I know I can do it, I want to help you.
Yeah.
And so let me do this for you.
Yeah.
And I've realised I have to stop rescuing people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it comes to the point of saying, oh, I'm saying yes to you as almost a way of rescuing you because I know I can do this and I know I'm good at it, and you've come to me and you've asked me, and I'm going to say yes because that means you don't have to do it, and I'm taking that off your plate, and that's in a way rescuing you.
Yeah.
And it's also taking away your ability to learn and do this yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the flip side of that. Yeah. And I think our personalities are very much a rescuing personality.
And
that's not necessarily a good thing. And when that goes into an unhealthy space, we can feel like we have to rescue everyone at the cost of ourselves.
Yeah, so true.
And I think it's just stopping and saying, stop rescuing. Rescue yourself. And if no one can do it, then maybe it shouldn't get done.
Because I went through this phase when I sort of worked out to say no. I started using this phase all the time about put your own life mask on first before helping others.
Oxygen mask, in the plane. Yeah.
I started using that as a reminder to myself that look after yourself first, and then you can help others. And you can say yes if you can help. When you say no, or when you say to people, I don't have the capacity for that, do people get a bit shocked?
Yes.
Yeah, because people get a bit shocked when I say it. Yeah.
And I think it's because they see the high capacity and, oh, you've said yes to all these other things. And you said yes to me previously and now you're saying no.
And then there's the worry too that they get as well, like, oh, is she okay?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine to setting my limits.
And I think it's also just, I know in my 20s and early 30s it was a lot around saying yes because there's a scarcity issue and you think that opportunity is not going to come up. And by saying no, I don't know if there's a story that's being said, oh, she's up herself now. Mm. She thinks she's made it. She doesn't need us.
Ah, okay.
So that's
the flip story side. You're creating in your own head, though. That might not be the story.
We have this interesting model of having to do service and engagement.
Yeah.
And not having to, like, I do want to and I love doing it, but I think it gets to a point of being unbalanced.
Mm.
And I do feel like in times when I've said no, sarcastically it's come back, oh, you don't need us anymore.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm like, well, that was sarcastically said, but is there truth to that?
Is there any truth to it?
Yeah. So it's, and I also should say, I'm not just saying no to work things. I'm saying no to social things.
Yeah.
Like, I've stripped social things right back.
Yeah.
Because it comes at a cost. Like, I'm someone from health issues needs a lot of sleep.
Mm.
Like, I was thinking Friday night I went out and I had a great time with my friends and got home. I didn't drink. I purposely didn't drink because I was driving and I'm on meds. You shouldn't drive and drink on those meds. Drove home, got home at about 11:30. Scott got home at a similar time, didn't fall asleep till 12.
Yeah.
And then woke up at about 6:30, right? So 6.5 hours of sleep is way too little for me.
Yeah.
And then had a busy day, got to see a friend from interstate, then went to have a nap at 2:30 and I didn't wake up till 5.
You were tired. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's two sleep cycles. You're tired.
That's two sleep cycles. And then I went to bed again at 9 p.m.,
didn't still slept.
Slept till 6:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Or about 6:15. Did two hours of work before coming here.
Oh my God.
But I'm just like, see how much sleep I need?
Yeah.
See how much, like, it's just an extraordinary amount to perform at the capacity. So I couldn't go out Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way I could have gone out last night.
You couldn't have done that. Yeah.
And tonight I won't go out because I have to prep for the week. I have to store enough sleep to be able to go through the week. So I'm saying no to a lot of midweek stuff. I'm saying no to a lot of things. And I'm just like, okay, there's only a I'm not saying yes to every Christmas catch up. I'm not saying yes to every catch up with friends before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I just can't.
No, yeah, I get it. Not on a school night. That's what my friends always say. Not on a school night. It's a school night.
It's a school night thing. And like, I love socializing. So that's a hard no. It's a hard no to say. But I have to then say, okay, if I say yes to that, it means that the quality of my work and the ability to do stuff for that week or over the weekend, I can't do.
But I'm listening to you say that, and I know that you meeting up with people fuels you. I do know that. Is it still too much work that part of your life has to be culled back socially?
I can't do too many in one day or on a weekend or during this on a school. And, you know, like, I am so up for the 5:30 dinner.
Yeah.
The 5:30 to, like, 8 o'clock dinner, I'm home and asleep by nine. Amazing.
Because not only do you need some sleep, you need to go home and mentally prepare yourself for the next day as well. Yeah.
Just decompress from the day.
Correct. Decompress.
And, you know, work has been full on and there's like a lot of things happening, and so I've got to decompress.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just interesting, like the yeses and the noes around that kind of thing. And
because there's nothing worse if you've said yes to something socially and you're getting to it. So it's 5 o'clock, you're meeting at seven, and that during that time you're thinking, why did I say yes to this?
Yeah.
Or you're thinking, is there an excuse I can get out of this? That's a terrible way to be thinking. But that's what happens when you've gone above capacity.
And it breeds resentment.
It's just, you know, and you always go along and you always enjoy it and all that sort of stuff. But you don't want to be in that headspace where you just go, or even like work or anything where you've said yes to something and then you're coming up to it and you're going, why? Why did I say this? Why did I say yes to this? Like,
and it's like what you were saying before. So one of the things I'm trying to avoid in saying no is saying, I can't do that now, but I could do that in a couple of months' time, because then it becomes a future Dash problem and I'm like, I'll just deal with it then. But then future Dash comes along and it's suddenly, oh, why did I say yes to doing that?
You need to do the hard no.
You have to do the hard no.
Yeah.
Or just be upfront as to where you're at. But I think the other thing is, in saying yes to both either a work or a social thing, when your tank empty, is that you become resentful. And I don't want to be resentful of my friends, or I don't want to be resentful of the work because I love the work and I love my friends and I love my family. I don't want to be resentful of them because I've said yes when I should have said no.
I'm thinking as well, on top of that, you have to do the hard no. Thank you for asking me. It's a hard no. No explanation.
I like that.
Because the moment you explain it, you weaken it.
Yeah.
You know, you just
Or go, they find a way.
Yeah, you weaken through it. You just go, thank you, but it's a hard no.
It's a hard no.
And then you're done.
Done.
And then, you know what? It might be hard to say in the moment, but you'll walk away. The relief you will feel is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The relief you will feel.
Yeah.
Think, okay, I have ripped that Band-Aid off. Like, you know what I mean? Because you can do the slow no, which is like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, then you have to say 10 no's instead of one no. Oh, I'm so sorry, no. You're not meant to say sorry either. Yeah.
No, you just say thank you.
Thank you
for asking me. It's a hard no.
It's a hard no right now.
That tells you.
No, I can't even say right now. It's a hard no.
Yeah.
Do not have capacity.
Because even right now means they could come back to you in a week or two and ask you again.
It's yes. Oh, it's so hard.
It's learning so to say the hard no.
But I know I'll be a better person for it.
Mm.
And that when I do say yes, it is a good yes.
Yes. And you are showing up and you don't resent it and you have the capacity and you're enjoying it. It's got to be about enjoyment, seriously.
But like, even thinking about, say, the podcast, right? I know it's not just showing up to the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not just showing up and chatting on a mic.
Yeah.
I need to have slept well.
Yeah.
I need to have, you know, be feeling well so that we can have a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's saying no to the things beforehand so that I can show up well to the thing I've said yes to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, actually. It's really true. Like, even last night, I made sure I had plenty of sleep before I got in today. And then I got up early this morning. I've had breakfast. I've decompressed.
Yeah.
Thought about what we're going to talk about today. Sort of prepped, you know, in my head. Listened to a few things that, you know, suggestions as we go back and forth. It's absolutely right, yeah. But I never, like, I didn't get up this morning and think, oh, I've got a podcast.
No. And I was like, oh, I'm so interested in what we're going to talk about with this episode. Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to bring up as well, because you talked about it as the oldest child, but also it was in the ABC podcast, and it's a cultural thing of saying yes to your elders.
Yes.
And the obedience element or the obligation element, like you're not given space to say no.
Yeah.
And I think it's also breaking away from some of those narratives that you don't have permission to say no in that space.
Yeah. Is there a female element to it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think there is a big female element to that.
I think there is too. Yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that, thinking, you know, you've got all the markers, all of them.
You've got a risk prediction of saying yes because of all of these things.
We'll ask her because she'll probably say yes.
She'll probably say yes. And I do want to say yes, but I want to say yes because I actually can do it. And I need to say no sometimes so that I can say yes.
At least we're laughing and we're not crying, because it'd be very easy to cry about this topic.
Yeah, 100%. And I
don't, because, do you know why? Because we have learnt to say the hard no. If you had asked me this question maybe 5 years ago, I might have had a few tears about it, going, I need to do better. I need to do better. But I think, like, I feel like for you and I feel like for me, we have gone through that and learnt where our limits are.
Mm.
And we've been forced to do that because of the type 1 diabetes. Like, that's, and of course you have other medical conditions that you literally, we're not going to make it if we don't say that, you know.
And it's also like, I know other people have parenting things.
Correct.
They're caregiving to their parents. Like, people have complex lives. So the other thing for me is, when someone says no to me, is to respect their no.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's to respect the other no as well. Yeah.
It's to respect the no, because we have no idea what is going on and what's behind that no.
Yeah.
Nor do we need to, like,
you don't need to know.
Probe and be like, hang on, why are you saying no to me? It's their business.
Yeah.
But to trust enough to say, oh, they've said no.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking less of you.
Yeah.
And hopefully in the future we'll be able to work together on something else.
And go from there.
And go from there. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I think we've come a long way, but I know at the end of last year we recorded a podcast episode and I was like, tank is empty.
Yeah.
I am so exhausted and overwhelmed. I didn't like myself.
Yeah.
I didn't like my friends.
Yeah.
I didn't like my family. I didn't like my work.
Yeah.
Like, I was just in this bubble of everything.
This is shit.
And I was like barely walking. I was just, it was awful.
Mm.
And I don't want to finish this year in the same way. So to avoid that, I have to say no.
Yeah. You took the steps.
I took the steps.
Yeah. You took the steps.
And so,
otherwise, what happens? You're going to collapse in a heap and then you let everybody down anyway.
And I'm not a nice person.
You are a nice person.
I can be and not a nice person. So to be the best version of myself, we say no.
Yeah. Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.